Now let's shift gears a little bit and talk about how important your mental attitude is to your peak performance. You know, having a good, positive mental attitude can make all the difference in bringing out and unleashing the true peak performance potential that you have inside you. So let's talk specifically about reframing and changing your mind. Reframing is a simple strategy that optimists use to find the positive meaning in things. It's a matter of turning what if into why not. For example, in seemingly negative situations, the positive thinker will find a positive meaning. By choosing to view adversity in a positive light, you will be able to gain some control over the negativity and eventually banish it from your life. By doing this, you will reduce your feelings of stress and anxiety toward the situation, and also prevent those negative situations from coming into contact with other parts of your life. Not only that, but you will have motivation to be able to overcome any problem, even if at first it may seem like no positive outcome is possible. Peak performers who use positive thinking use this method of reframing in many different ways. It means exactly what it sounds, putting the picture in a completely different frame in order to see it more positively. Walk into any art gallery or museum and you can see examples of reframing all around you. The pictures and the portraits are all framed. The next time you visit one of these places, try to imagine what the picture would look like with a different frame around it. Different types of frames pick out different nuances in the picture. Some may highlight the artist's use of color. Others may highlight the mood of the overall picture. What is really interesting about this is that often, just by changing the frame, you really appreciate the original frame. On a smaller scale, you can try this with the pictures in your home. Many of us have framed photographs of family or loved ones scattered around the living room. Swap some of the pictures around into different frames to see what effect it has. The way you feel about the pictures may change depending on how you frame them. But why is this? The picture stays the same. Nothing changes there, but the whole mood and effect that the picture has can change drastically. Often it is only by attempting to alter the original frame of reference to a situation that we appreciate how the original frame has hindered our ability to deal with it. For reframing, there are two main stages, the first of which is to understand the original frame. The next step is to create a different frame, and that can be quite a difficult thing to do. However, for the positive thinker, interested in bringing out peak performance, this process of reframing comes perfectly naturally. You might feel quite disappointed that you missed the bus to work this morning, but the positive thinker will put this into a positive frame by realizing the opportunity now exists for them to cycle or walk instead. What you are in effect doing here is taking the negative situation and reframing it, thereby realizing the opportunities that surround you and seeing things in a different way. I once knew someone who had been laid off from his job. I offered him my condolences, but he didn't seem all that perturbed. When I asked why, he told me that he now had a chance to pursue some hobbies that he was not able to pursue before, and also to spend more time with his children. He had taken the bad situation, being laid off from work, and reframed it. As soon as he did this, he realized that it offered him more opportunities, and he was actually a lot better off this way. Sometimes, however, other reframing techniques may be called into play. It may well be pertinent, for example, to try to make sense of the problem by understanding what caused it in the first place. If the person I just described, who had been laid off from work, had completely failed to understand the reason why, as it happens in this case, the person was laid off due to company cutbacks rather than anything he had directly been responsible for, then it would have been difficult to reframe the situation so that he could prevent it from happening again. So reframing is a great technique of the positive thinker who's interested in getting to peak performance when it comes to minor setbacks and problems that naturally occur in all of our lives. Although it's a quite straightforward and relatively easy thing to do it naturally without thinking does take a bit of time and practice. However, after you've employed this technique for a period of time, you will find that it does indeed come naturally. Also, reframing works when something big happens to us, too. Coping with something that can be potentially devastating, such as the loss of a loved one or a serious illness, can have the effects diminished by the power of reframing the context. It will often appear that the silver lining or the positive side can't be found, especially when trying to cope with something that can potentially have such devastating effects on your life. But seeing the experience as part of the bigger picture can seriously reduce the impact of the psychological trauma. Changing the frame that surrounds a particularly nasty piece of news or experience will not make the picture seem rosy and fine, but it will aid you in accepting or coming to terms with the loss. and this in turn will help you maintain your peak performance. Let's talk about keeping it fresh. So far, we have learned quite a bit about motivation and peak performance and the general theme of optimism and the general effects it can have on your life. I want you to know that when you strive for your best, it can also positively affect the lives of those around you. Whether you're able to reach your peak performance levels consistently will, of course, depend on you. And that's what it really comes down to, you. Just by listening to me up to this point, you have demonstrated a desire to improve the parts of your life that you may have neglected, or maybe have just simply not been in the forefront of your mind until now. I want us now to look a little bit closer at realities of life and how they affect us. Your peak performance can be affected by the realities of life, and you can fall into a drudging routine that offers little or no fulfillment. And when this happens, your peak performances may seem distant, and your motivation to reach them may seem dim. So let's discuss what a positive person interested in peak performance can do to come up for air, so to speak. In the world of positive thinking, many people become more obsessed with the subject of thinking about thinking, and then that becomes the end-all, rather than the happier and fulfilled life that they are looking for in the first place. Sometimes we need to just stop and evaluate exactly what it is we are doing, to take a deep breath and look at ourselves. Positive thinking is not just an inward-looking situation, but sometimes we get caught up in the fact that we must produce something positive. It seems completely ridiculous that the most developed countries in the world also have the highest number of cases of depression. In order to avoid this yourself, you have to put together 10 steps to keep thinking fresh in order to give your happiness levels that extra boost when needed. And this can power you through those levels when you need peak performance, but you're feeling that you're not quite up to par. Number one is create your own dimmer switch. Insight and motivation is not something that you can idle towards. It must come from within. The fire of motivation always burns, and we must keep it fueled in order for it to burn brightly. Paradoxically, constantly forcing your brain to come up with a continuous supply of new solutions can be very counterproductive. The human brain is at its least playful and imaginative when forced into a corner. Sometimes simply turning down the lights can serve as a declutter for the brain. Compare your brain to a bar at closing time. At the end of the day, it's full of debris from the stream of customers and thoughts of the day, your thoughts, and it's not particularly clean. When the bar closes, however, the lights go down, the dimmer switch is employed, and the cleaners come in. In a short time, the bar is clean and ready for the next influx of customers. Consciously disengaging from a problem that you can't see the way out of turns the brain back to a more relaxed state, making thinking clearer and easier. I'm not talking about turning the lights off altogether here. If you did that, the cleaners wouldn't be able to do their work. Sometimes positive thinkers need to try not to think. It is when they are not directly thinking about a problem that quite often the breakthrough they have been searching for appears. A natural positive thinker shouldn't have to be vigorously wrestling with challenges 100% of the time. Studies have shown once again, in ways that we're only beginning to understand, that our brain continues to function when we are not aware of it doing so. If, like me, you're aware of lots of different thought patterns throughout the day, a good way to employ the dimmer switch is to plan ahead. Think of the times during the day that require little thought, and tell yourself at these times that you will close the bar and let the cleaners come in for a quick tidy up, for example, in the shower or while cooking a meal. To demonstrate how it works, how many times have you been puzzling over a conundrum like a crossword clue and given up and gone to bed? And then at 4 a.m. suddenly sat upright, wide awake, with the answer. You weren't thinking about it, but because you had started to get rid of the clutter that had accumulated in your brain, the path to the answer was easy. You reached your peak performance by not trying at all. Isn't that interesting? Number two, change the routine. I've spoken about routines and how they can stagnate the positive thinker. If every day follows a distinct pattern, then you will fall into a pattern. You don't have to think about it, and therefore your mind becomes numb. You don't see the opportunities that go past your window, and your mind becomes a little lazy because you no longer have to exercise your mind by trying to get around difficult problems. If you change your routine, however, just imagine what thoughts and ideas you could come up with. A new way of doing something ordinarily can lead to a new way of doing something else, and so on and so on. What would have been a very ordinary humdrum day becomes something quite extraordinary. How many times have you finished doing whatever it is you do for the day and said to someone, "I had an extraordinary idea today"? Usually this only happens when something beyond our control happens to us, like a traffic accident outside the office or a phone call from a long-forgotten friend. But what if the level of extraordinariness was within your control? What would you have to do to make every day extraordinary? When you answer that question, you will have another clue as to how to increase your peak performance consistently. Number 3, identifying the problem. Often we can try to reframe things and look for new ways of doing things and search for opportunities and situations only to find that we haven't really solved the problem that existed in the first place. This is really falling into a trap that a lot of positive thinkers find themselves in, thinking so hard about the problem that the answers pass us by. In order to solve a problem, we must first identify exactly what the problem is. When it comes to identifying the problem, I'm often reminded of Roger Van Oeck's story of the concert pianist, who, when asked to give a concert, remarked that the piano was not good enough and refused to play until he had gotten it fixed. A few weeks later, she was called and told that the piano was now fine. When she arrived, she found that it was still very far out of tune. So she said that they still hadn't fixed it, only to be told by the concert manager that yes, they had. It was painted last week. If you are thinking about solving a problem, you need to make sure that you're solving the right problem. Number 4, the other point of view. When we set goals and targets for ourselves, we naturally get the confidence boost that comes with them. When the path to our target is clearly delineated, we can see exactly where we are going, and that helps us to get there. Setting our goals and targets is a vital part of positive thinking. If you are thinking about a particular problem or situation and trying to come up with a new solution, then it is also very important to understand that others involved will have done the same thing too. For example, if you're going into a business meeting with a set of very clear goals for that meeting, it would be unreasonable to assume that the others in the meeting have not done exactly the same thing. Often, for the positive thinker interested in reaching his peak performance consistently, he can easily miss this. We can get caught up in the influx of new opportunities that present themselves all around us, and we fail to realize those opportunities and how they impact others. By considering the goal and the targets of others, then you are opening yourself up to even more ideas and opportunities. All right, let's take a little break now. We're about halfway through the material that I've presented, and I want to make sure that you're with me, that you're paying attention and that you're learning something. So what I want you to do right now is, if you're driving and you can pull over, go ahead and do that. If you're not driving, then you can definitely do this. You can take out a piece of paper and you can write down 5 things that you've learned so far from what I've said, 5 things that resonated with you. Now, I want you to keep in mind, they don't even have to be 5 things that I said. Maybe you got some good ideas from what I said. Maybe I said something and your brain took it and blew it up a million times and came up with all kinds of wonderful, amazing possibilities based on what I said. If that's the case, then feel free to write that down. I just want you to write down 5 things, whether they came from me or they're just thoughts that came in your head. 5 things that have come to you so far, either from me saying them or from you thinking them, as a result of listening to this program so far. So as I'm silent, I'm going to give you ample time now. I want you to write down 5 things, 5 thoughts that you have as a result of listening to this program so far. Do this now. Okay, do you have your 5 things? If not, go ahead and finish them up. 5 things, write them down. So I'm going to move forward now. Let's take those 5 things that you have written down, and I want you to elaborate on them. For example, if you have an insight number 1, that I should change blank about myself, whatever it may be, I want you to elaborate on that. Whatever you've written down for point number 1, something that's come to you during listening to this program, I want you to elaborate on that now as I'm silent. Good. And now I want you to take point number two and elaborate on that. What was the second point that you wrote down, and how can you enhance this idea? I want you to make it real for yourself, because I want you to have, after you finish this program, something you can use. So on point number two, elaborate on it. Consider what you wrote down as point number two, the foundation. Now build a house on it. Go ahead and write down something now as I'm silent. Good. Now you're getting some momentum. Now for point three. Point number three that you wrote down, something that came to you as you listened to this program, I want you to elaborate on point number three as I'm silent. Good. Now take point number four, the fourth point that you wrote down, something that came to you while you're listening to this program. I want you to elaborate on point number four as I'm silent. Great. Last but not least, point number five. Take point number five and elaborate on it as I'm silent. All right, so you've learned a lot of information in this program. And what I want you to do now, as long as you're not driving, close your eyes and let that information kind of circulate around in your mind. Just let all those ideas float around as if you're an astronaut floating in a space capsule and everything kind of floats because there's no gravity. Think about your ideas like that. They're just floating in front of you. I want you to let your imagination run wild, and I want you to start seeing things fit into place. Now, at first, what's going to happen probably is that all these ideas are going to be floating around in your mind as your mind calms down, you're going to be able to put the pieces into place. For example, if you have a wonderful idea that came to you as a result of listening to this program, you're going to be able to take that idea and put it into place in your imagination. The wonderful thing about your imagination is it doesn't have any limit. So when you plan something out and you actually start doing it, well, maybe there are certain physical restraints and physical limitations that you're really feeling, like gravity, for example. But in your imagination, there aren't any. So you might think, what's the use of using your imagination if it has certain properties to it that don't apply to the physical world, to the real world? Well, I want to tell you that a lot of the things that you think apply to the real world really don't. A lot of the limitations that you think you have, you don't really have. You're just imagining them. Those are already in your imagination, but you've made them real. Why don't we take good things from your imagination, good, powerful things that are actually going to help you, and bring those into your real life. You've already done it with things that are limiting. Let's do it with things that are great and helpful. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be able to have superhuman strength, but I'm saying that your possibilities are a lot greater than you think they are right now, and your imagination is the key to unlocking the door that's going to allow you to live in a universe where a lot more things are possible to you. So, what I'm going to do now is give you an opportunity to close your eyes. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to get out of your way and just let your thoughts run wild. All of the thoughts that have been coming to you while listening to this program, let them run wild in your mind and then start to see patterns, start to put them into place, start to take control of them and start to see how maybe you can change some of the things that you're doing and make your life better. Do this exercise now of just letting your imagination run wild with these new ideas. As I am silent. How was that? Did you have a lot of ideas floating around at first? Maybe some strange ideas came in. Sometimes I close my eyes and I don't know what's going to come into my imagination because my imagination is open and anything goes. But what I often find is that the things from my imagination are not always fantasy. Sometimes they're things that I can do. I can find a way to make them happen. And if I didn't take the time to step away from my problems, my challenges, and use my imagination, I probably wouldn't have thought of the solution. So this exercise can be very helpful. I hope you use it beyond this program as well. Sometimes you can get so caught up in a problem that you just need to step away, close your eyes, and use your imagination and see what happens, see what comes to you. All right, I hope you enjoyed this exercise.